I have observed through the years, and you have heard me say that most Christians prefer to live under the old covenant. It looks as though God says, hey fellas, I want you to give up this old covenant and come to something more glorious, the new covenant. But like Jesus said, when the new wine is presented, they say the old is better. Jesus actually said that in Luke chapter 5. They taste the new wine and say the old is better. We don't want all these heavenly blessings. We want something right now on earth. And that's why they say the old is better. I wonder if you say that. You know that verse in Luke's Gospel chapter 5? If you don't, let me show it to you. It's good to see everything from Scripture. It's quite an interesting verse. And he says in the last two verses, new wine must be put into new fresh wineskins. But no one after drinking the old wine wants the new. He says the old is good enough. Let me paraphrase that. People hear about the new covenant and they say, no, the old is good enough. In the old covenant, they promised us healing for our bodies. They promised us prosperity. They promised us a lot of things on this earth. That's good enough for me. And that is the gospel being preached today. And the Lord says, okay, if that's good enough, that's good enough. Go ahead. But how many will there be who will say the old is not good enough? God has abolished the old covenant, it says in Hebrews 8. I want the new. In the new covenant, you read about overcomers in Revelation. In Revelation in chapter 21, it says, he who overcomes will inherit all things. Revelation 21 verse 7. And I will be his God and he will be my son. He who overcomes, to all the churches in Revelation, Jesus wrote, he who overcomes. God's desire is that we must be overcomers. There was no such thing in the old covenant. In the old covenant, you only overcame the Canaanites and the Philistines and the Edomites and the Moabites. Well, I have no interest in overcoming Moabites and Edomites and Canaanites and all those people today. I've got an interest in overcoming sin. I've got an interest in overcoming the devil. I've got an interest in overcoming the world. Today, the enemies of the Christian are the world, the spirit of the world, the fashions of the world, and all that is in the world. And then there is the flesh with its lusts and desires and corruption, and then there is the devil. That's what we've got to overcome. We don't have any Moabites or Philistines or your relatives or your boss or your difficult neighbor. We're not interested in overcoming them, but many people say, no, that's what we want. Lord, I want you to deal with my neighbor. I want you to deal with my boss. The old is good enough. In the Old Testament, Lord, you dealt with all the Israelites' enemies. But in the New Covenant, God did not deal with Jesus' enemies. Jesus' enemies, they continued to live for long lives, I suppose. Because the New Covenant is different. Very rarely you find nowadays God judging someone. I mean, there are cases like that where I remember hearing in Charles Finney's ministry in the 19th century in England, somebody would get up and oppose his ministry and he would drop dead. But that is very rare. I mean, like Ananias and Sapphira, rare. It's not very common. Very, very rare. In the Old Covenant, it was there all the time. Anybody who opposed Israel would be smitten. But now that's rare. In the New Covenant, our enemies are primarily spiritual. We don't fight with them. We don't fight with earthly enemies. But if our mind is set on earthly things, you'll find unconsciously we tend towards old covenant blessings and we never come into the new covenant. Now, I'll tell you some of my personal convictions on this. I don't want to impose it on anybody. But I am totally sold out on the new covenant in every single aspect. because I believe this is what Jesus shed his blood for. It's called the blood of the everlasting covenant he made with God and man. And I say, Lord, if there is anything old covenant in me, I want you to remove it. I'm not interested in earthly blessing. Zero. I'm only interested in heavenly blessing. I want you to make me an overcomer over sin, over the world. The spirit of the world gets no foothold in me. Over the flesh, all the lusts of the flesh, over Satan and all his hosts. I'm not interested in winning earthly court cases or God smiting my neighbors or dealing with difficult people or people who criticize me. I'm not interested in all that. That God can do whatever he wants. But I definitely want to overcome sin and the world and the flesh of the devil. I want to be an overcomer there. And so I say, Lord, I'm never going to call you Jehovah. I know there are lots of things about Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. I say, Lord, I read the entire epistles and I never find the word Jehovah there even once. Why are all these songwriters in this age singing about Jehovah? Okay, let them do it. I'm not going to do it. I never call God Jehovah because Jesus taught me to call him Father. He told Moses that his name was Jehovah. I'll give you numerous instances to show you how Christians prefer to go and say the old is better, Jehovah is better. Why call him Father? I don't. I take God's word extremely seriously in a day and age where it doesn't mean anything to most people. Jesus said, when you pray, say our Father, not Jehovah. But do you know the number of people who sing songs to Jehovah? And they say, then they argue about, is it Jehovah or is the correct pronunciation Yahweh? I say, I couldn't care less. I don't call him either. Whether it's Jehovah, Yahweh, I call him Father. I know how to pronounce that. And I go one step further and I call him Dad. Abba. I know how to pronounce that. All these, it's amazing how almost no Christian stands up against all this and says, this is all old covenant, man. And that is the reason for their shallow lives. Because in the old covenant, they could not overcome the world, they could not overcome the flesh, they could not overcome the devil. And in the old covenant, they used to get depressed and discouraged. In the new covenant, it says, rejoice always. Do you know Christians who have argued with me? Brother Zach, you cannot say that everybody must rejoice always. Can you imagine born again believers telling me that you must not preach that people must rejoice always because they say there is something called clinical depression? I suppose the Holy Spirit didn't know about that when he said rejoice in the Lord always. Well, I say, I don't know about all that, brother. You can say what you like. You better scratch out that verse from your Bible and say, those who don't have clinical depression, rejoice in the Lord always. It's not what it says. I don't care what people say. I believe God's word. Sin shall not have dominion over you means it will not have dominion over you. You can rejoice. I don't mean smile always. There's no such verse in Scripture. That's for idiots. Go around smiling all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. That is what it says. It's an inner thing. There may be sorrow. Jesus was a man of sorrows, but he had a joy, inward joy that kept him triumphant. The joy of the Lord was his strength. We don't follow Elijah who got depressed. We don't follow Moses who lost his temper and broke those tablets of stone. We don't follow David who committed adultery and married so many women. The author and finisher of our faith is Jesus, who never got depressed, who never lost his temper when it concerned anything personal. He was angry for the house of God. The zeal of God's house ate him up, but never concerning anything personal. Never, never, never. And he was never depressed. He was never angry concerning himself. And he was never impure. You must keep Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith if you want to be an overcomer. Will you pray this prayer with me? Lord, deliver me from the old covenant completely. Show me that the old covenant is over. It's like, you know, I remember living in In India, in the British days, I used to live in New Delhi in 1947, early part of it, and our king was King George the Sixth. If you ask me who was my king, as a little six-year-old boy, I'd say King George the Sixth. But you ask me today, I don't say King George or Queen Elizabeth. I've finished with all that. Who is the head of your state? Queen Elizabeth? Queen Elizabeth? No. President of India. That's what I mean, the difference. One regime has finished. Do you know that the old covenant is over? We are in a new covenant. Why do we say the old is good enough, like say, oh, the British Raj was the best. I wish we were still under Queen Elizabeth. This is how some people are living under the old covenant. And I want to encourage all of you to break free from that and come into the new covenant. We're living in another day. Jesus has come. The Holy Spirit has come. And there are blessings, there are fantastic promises. All the promises of God which are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20, God has said yes, and we say amen. That's ours. We must be bold to claim those promises. If somebody sends you a check, some multi-millionaire sends you a check. Let's say somebody like Bill Gates, richest man in the world, sends you a check. Number of checks. Here, I like you so much. Here are some checks. What's use admiring them? I got to go to the bank and cash them and say, thank you. And whenever I have a need, I go and cash that check. This is even greater. God has given me promises signed by Jesus Christ, who's got all authority in heaven and earth. And I can go to the bank of heaven and claim every single one of them. But it says in that verse in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it's not enough that God has said yes in Jesus. We have to say amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. God has said yes in Christ. We have to say amen. Any of you who have taken a check to a bank, if you want to encash a cash check, you go to any bank, signed by whoever it is, richest man in the world, whatever amount it is, whether it's 10 rupees, or 1 million rupees, pay cash, they will always ask you to sign on the backside. They won't give it to you otherwise. But you say it's signed on the front. I know it's signed on the front, but you got to sign at the back. It's signed in the front, in the name of Jesus Christ, this promise is mine, I know, but you got to say amen to that. Otherwise you won't get it. That is the reason a lot of people don't get it. They don't sign on the back and say, this is for me.